You might wonder about what this is, but over in England, where all American styles go, but from which American styles used to come, we find that most professional men, club men, sports, and that sort of thing, they wear blazers with pocket badges. And we couldn't be outdone by that. And so we up and got a blazer with a pocket badge. We couldn't get them made anywhere in the Western Hemisphere for anything reasonable. So we got the badges made in Hong Kong, China. Very, very interesting. Clear from Hong Kong. The international character of Scientology, then, you see, is all squared up. Here I am on an American stage with a British jacket with a badge from Hong Kong, China, you see. Speaking of the international character of Scientology, I've pointed out the fact that you have to mock up a Canadian flag there. And back here, there's a couple of flags that are in error. Not very large error, but there are a couple of flags that are in error. This one. Because we are really not a member of the United Nations. The fact of the matter is that no petition has been made to the United Nations to include us as a chartered organization of that organization. We do not have a delegate in the United Nations at this time. We're processing them first. Well, I guess you have decided that you're here and the Congress has started. And it's a very, very good thing that you're here in such a complacent frame of mind, because I haven't got anything to talk to you about today. I've talked myself out completely. First, I blew out the PA system 100%. Now I'm blowing my voice out. Actually, it isn't very difficult to talk here in this hall, aside from the fact that the pillars kick back the voice. But we'll work on the pillars perhaps a little bit more today, and they'll be gone. So, wherever we get together like this, however, if I talk to you for a few minutes, I sort of get the idea that there might be something I could say to you that would have some small value, perhaps no great extent. And just saying I didn't have anything to talk to you about reminded me that I've never really talked to you about having this. Now, the funny part of it is I had to talk to you about game conditions and solids before I could talk to you about having this. So you see that there might be something that we have yet to learn about this subject of happiness if it is preceded by games and preceded by solids and the note of mystery scale. All right. Want to hear something about happiness?
Yeah.
Quite a peculiar subject. Peculiar subject. Since happiness appeared on our scene as a process by accident, it was obvious that masses had something to do with the state of health of Treclip. But we thought so little of having this just 7 months ago that we dropped it almost entirely from our memories and knowledge. We just forgot to put it on the list. Now, I've always told students in the ACC card. Of course, I have told them so doggone many things. Often, probably from their viewpoint, so contradictory, so unreconcilable with any other data that they sometimes don't cognite on them for a year or two. We get long comlags on this sort of thing. Very interesting. But havingness itself is one of these peculiar, peculiar things. We didn't even get upset when people were not remedying havingness for a while. And I didn't even notice there was anything gone out of our processing tools. Hey, that's pretty good. I said processing this time. That's pretty good. You know, I must be in America. Well, we didn't even notice there was anything gone from our processing tools. Until Julia started shipping over the tons of tests she ships me every week. And the London director of processing started unloading me some more tests. And there was nothing happening in these tests. For a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I said, practically every auditor in the HGC has suddenly gone mad. They're all breaking the auditor's code. Lord knows what they are running. They're probably reporting one thing and running something else. What's happening here, I don't know. But it became obvious that there was a process in Scientology that was being omitted somehow or another from the regular and routine processes generally used by the clinic. We used to say in ACC courses, when in doubt, remedy havingness. When in doubt, remedy havingness. You remember that old phrase?
Yes.
Well, evidently, nobody was in doubt except the tests. And I didn't know what was wrong. It took about 3 months for me to square this thing around and look at it and see what process was missing. When you have 10,000 processes, then you might have 10,000 things missing. And the whole 10,000 processes were not being run on pre-clear, so it became guesswork. What had become wrong with Scientology? That it suddenly wasn't working smoothly. Only a few gains here and there. No big gains were taking place. What was happening? What was gone? I finally found out what was gone. Havingness. We had dropped this as a process. Now, for those of you who feel a little shaky about your auditing or aren't auditors, let me tell you what we mean by having it. We have the pre-clear, the old style, mark up something like a mass and shove it into his body. This is on the rationale that people eat and people do take in masses and solids, and so as we process, we feel that we should make people take in masses and solids. That was the basic theory behind havingness. We found out that an individual could be processed for a little while and he'd start to shake, get a little bit upset, twitch, get agitated. What's wrong? Uncomfortable. We processed him a little bit further without doing anything about his havingness, and he would say, you've broken the auditor's code. You've done something bad to me. You are telling me to do things I can't do. In other words, he'd argue and argue, start arguing. He'd get argumentative, he'd go down tone scales, something would happen to him. But if you had him mock up or create a mental image picture containing some mass, and take that mental image picture and shove it into his body, he would recover from this agitation. He would feel better. So it became a rule after this was omitted from that, and we found it again, that havingness had to be remedied. We already knew about havingness. We said any time an individual began to twitch, become restive, or go unconscious during processing, his havingness had been dropped or changed. Now, it isn't necessarily true that he will go unconscious during a session simply because his havingness has been dropped. Funny part of it is you remedy some pre-clears havingness and they go unconscious. And you have to say, come on, come on, mark it up, push it in, mark it up, push it in. You go, dong, you say.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Well, mark it up and push it in. Mark it up, push it in. Dung. And all of a sudden, after they've done this for quite a while, they don't go boom anymore. I'll give you an example of the use of this. I had a preclear who had a totally black field. This is called an occluded case. Actually, should be called a black case or a lightless case. Tell a person to close his eyes. He sees a blackness that is not the blackness simply occasioned by his eyelids. Actually, eyelids are blackish but slightly red to most preclears. So if he closes his eyes and doesn't see anything, if you ask, oh, that's very funny, you ask most people, you say, close your eyes. Person closes his eyes. You say, what do you see? He says, nothing. You say, that's good, that's fine, good. Now, what do you see? Nothing. Come on, now, what are you looking at? Nothing. Well, just try, just look, will you? What do you see? If he's doing this, he then normally says, blackness. I do see blackness. And it doesn't come to him as a surprise that he is looking at something when he never has looked at anything before. He is in such a state that he isn't looking at anything. First thing he sees when he starts to see is blackness. What is this blackness? It's actually masses of energy which are a total effect on the thetan on which he has little or no effect. You follow me? He has little or no effect on the blackness. The blackness has a great deal of effect on him, so he then and there puts the consideration into consistent practice that it is all black and there's nothing he can do about it. Actually, there are energy masses of a mental sort sitting in his skull and around in front of his face, and they are black and they're almost indestructible. When you try to get a preclear to chew one of these things up or do something to these things, he gets great difficulty. You've all had experience with this. It's because the blackness has normally put him in a no-game condition. We'll give you an old remedy of havingness, an old-time remedy of havingness. You ask somebody to mock up something and shove it into his body, mock up something else, shove it into his body. You never did a complete remedy of havingness. Later on, remedy of havingness meant you mock up something, shove it into his body, you mock up something and shove it, throw it away. Mock up something, shove it in, mock up something and throw it away. That was a complete remedy of havingness. We could do both of these. But the early nomenclature simply said a remedy of havingness. He mocked up something, shoved it in the body. All right, I've taken a preclear who was totally black as far as the field is concerned. Couldn't see anything but blackness. The blackness was of quality and character of black basalt. And we expected this preclear to be able to do something with mental image pictures, to see engrams, to do this, to do that. Very interesting. He couldn't do any of these things at all. Why? Because he couldn't really see what he was doing. He had a black screen in front of his face, and this blackness acted very badly on any processing efforts that we made. Well, I have had a preclear on whom no other process to recover vision from all this occlusion. I've had a preclear actually go through this sort of an action. Nothing else had ever touched this person's blackness. Mark up a black mass and shove it into the body. Mark up a black mass and shove it into the body. Mark up a black mass and shove it into the body. Mark up a black mass and shove it into the body. Prickly had a great deal of trouble with it, went aniten, went upset, did this for 15 minutes, and during the entire 15 minutes, I don't believe the preclear was actually conscious more than one or two of those minutes, but yet was going on with the process, even though completely unconscious. And at the end of this time, all of a sudden the black field changed, and I had the preclear doing mock-ups. The preclear then did very brilliant mock-ups, and I did another couple of processes, the preclear was able actually to get rid of energy. By the way, it's very amusing. The process used to have the preclear get rid of something, everything snapped in on this preclear only. The process used to make this preclear get rid of something was to... I'll tell you, first the mock-ups were just that big. I finally said, how big are these mock-ups? Oh, they're pretty good size. They're that big.
Guys, we'll see if we can't get them just a little bit bigger. We started building them up, and they finally got to be life-size, and had the preclear do several innocent things, mock up various innocent devices, one kind or another, you know, images, and push them in, do things with them. And then had the preclear mock up an elephant. And preclear was perfectly happy to mock up this elephant. Elephant at first was this big, second time this big, then got this big, and then got to be an elephant. When the elephant was sufficiently big that the preclear was not comfortable, I said, now have the elephant walk away. Preclear had the elephant walk away. Said he's having a dreadful time getting through the door. Elephant managed that. Boy, were barriers real to this preclear. Said he's having an awful time now with the front door. He can't manage the knob. Elephant walked out on the street, and I said, now just have him keep on walking. He was out of sight by this time. And the preclear said, yes. And I said, well, now have you gotten rid of something? And the preclear said, hey, what do you know? And we had more elephants walk away and camels walk away, and finally we got down to where anything could walk away, and we finally got the point where the preclear could mock up a mental image picture and push it in with great ease, or mock up a mental image picture, preclear could take it and just go, and away it was gone. In other words, the preclear could throw it away and pull it in. Now, that was the total remedy of happiness. What happened to that preclear's processing? This preclear began to make progress for the first time. Up to that time, only little tiny things had taken place, and none of these things were really real. Somebody else could see that the preclear no longer had a toothache or something, but the preclear wouldn't admit it. In other words, this preclear was in one of these almost total, game conditions. You see? That was Scientology theory applied to the case. Well, now that's very interesting. A person should be able to handle these mental image pictures. If he cannot, they handle him. Now that just gives you an idea of an old-time remedy of happiness. It's workable. Auditors have very often avoided this with some disaster. I'll tell you part of the disasters which can occur. A preclear is run on figure, you know? All right, now get a concept, get an idea, get a concept, get another idea, now change the idea, now get a concept, get an idea, get a concept, get an idea. Those are all think processes, see? They lie below solids. But thinkingness as is solids. Thought destroys solids. A preclear starts thinking a little bit, he'll think a little bit more. Why? He thinks a hole in his head. Let me show you exactly how that is. He really does think a hole in his head. You'll get this whole basic mechanism here. Here's a preclear. Nice, comfortable preclear with a lot of vision. He's in there sometimes. There's the preclear. He's fairly comfortable. He's got all that nice mass next to him. So he says, there must be something wrong because I don't see all there is to see and I feel impatient. I worry once in a while. The doctor comes along and he says, all right, you worry once in a while, huh? All right, well, now think of a something to worry about. Preclear does. The auditor says, worry about it. Preclear does. The auditor says, now think of something else to worry about. Preclear does. All of a sudden, something peculiar happens. A new energy mass of some sort or another turns up and pulls in on the preclear.
What essentially has happened? The preclear bought a hole in his head. Here he is here, see? And he has started to do this. Well, what do we got here? We have an area of no mass sitting in the area of mass, and there's pressure out here. Get it? So what's the final result of this? Final result is this. The preclear is sitting in the middle of that now. See how this is? In other words, he gets solider. A preclear is, boy, there's nothing more like a thetan than a thetan. They try to get themselves into more trouble than they're in. You give them half a chance on the reasoning and belief that if they get into enough trouble, they won't be in any trouble. Only nobody's ever found bottom on the amount of trouble you can get in. You know the old song, the words of Turkey in the Straw. A fella lost everything and a cyclone came and took the house and barn away. And then a tax collector, he'd lost everything by this time, and a tax collector came around and charged him up with a hole in the ground. Well, that's essentially what happens here. See? He's bought a hole in his head. That's all. And the pressure vectors, it's quite mechanical. It's just like handling bread dough or something. Finally winds him up twice as pushed in, and only half is able. And yet that's evidently a very fine process. It evidently restores the preclear's power of choice and his ability to decide and everything. You worry, huh? All right, well, think of something to worry about. Good, now worry about it. It doesn't work. Why? Because, I'll tell you what's wrong with thinkingness. Thinking. Now, if you could just run out thinking without thinking, you could stop him from worrying. And you can. You can. You can run out thinking without thinking. Here he is. We've got him down to this now. Now let's get him down a little further and have him mock up a black mass out here. He's here, see? And push that in. Mock up another black mass, push that in. Mock up another mass out here, push that in. First thing you know, we at least got him back up to this. He didn't have to think to do that, did he? The next thing you know, you have him, if you're very good, and you work at having this very well, and you run havingness of the physical universe and havingness of the bank both, you get him into this interesting condition. I'm not going to draw you a picture of a preclear who is out of this mess. There. There he is. But the funny part of it is when he wanted to get out of this mess, he got into that. But when we simply gave him more mess, we got that. Follow me? So that by apparently pushing him downscale with the exact situation he is in, too much mass, we actually bring him back upscale again. When we let him think, he tries to go in the direction of less mass directly. He's in a no-game condition here. Everything is having an effect on him. He's having an effect on nothing. We have him think, and he goes into a further no-game condition, because he himself is not creating the thing which is victimizing him. And that is the basic rule of the whole of auditing. You make the preclear create what is victimizing him. And he's not being victimized by thought. He's being victimized by masses he cannot control.
So you have him make some up some masses and put them under his control. Now that's the theoretical fundamental of havings. Do you understand that? Preclear believes fondly that what is wrong with him is, let us say, that ceiling. It is so solid. He can't duplicate it, can't duplicate him. You have to push him up to a point of where he himself can create the ceiling before the ceiling doesn't ever worry him anymore. Why? It's a game condition. Now, the first rule I gave you is a rule out of old creative processing. Whatever's wrong with a preclear, make him do it. Remember? Doesn't matter what's wrong with a preclear, make him do it. Now, there was an old field of, I don't know what it was, they used phrenology, I think it's named. And they went so far as to say he has to do what he is afraid of doing, or he has to do what he's upset about doing. See, that's almost right. You'll find top sergeants subscribe to this. A fellow's afraid of climbing a flagpole, and the first thing the sergeant thinks of is to make him climb the flagpole. Unfortunately, it's not therapeutic. It works sufficiently often to give it credence, but it's not really therapeutic. Every now and then, somebody dies of heart failure. Of course, that's nothing to a sergeant. But here we have this condition. And if we merely knew that you make the preclear create what is wrong with him, if you just do that, you'd think he'd get out of anything then, wouldn't you? But that's not the story. I wish I could just say that, but that was a fallacy we had for years, and it was a mistake. It was an error. It was an error of magnitude because it put the emphasis on creativeness. And that is not where the emphasis should be. The emphasis should be on playingness. Now, why was he upset about being in the middle of the mass? You mean to tell me that a thetan is going to be upset about being in the middle of a black mass? I've been in black masses. Maybe you have, too. They didn't upset you. Well, then what's upsetting about this? There must be some other condition that is upsetting rather than mass. Yes, there is. He has the sensation of being done to. It's been done to him. He didn't do it. He's in this condition, a no-game condition. I was talking to you yesterday. No-game condition. To put it in a game condition, you have to get him to make a game out of this. Now we say, mock up a mass and shove it in, mock up a mass and shove it in. It worked. Why didn't it work all the time? It should have worked uniformly. If it had been wholly right, it would have worked all the time. But it didn't work all the time. Every now and then we got a hold of some black case and it didn't respond to this sort of thing. We said it wasn't real, it wasn't this, it wasn't that. A lot of critical lines because we didn't know quite what we were doing. All right, truth of the matter is you put him into a game condition of no effect on self, effect on others. You have him mock up these black masses and put them on other people, and we find out it's one of the basic tricks of a thetan is to put another thetan in the dark. The game's been done to him, and he's stuck in a lose. You've got to make him play the same game again. Now, you see, this business about creativeness and so forth wasn't true. See, it happened to approximate a game's condition. See, having mock it up and shove it in isn't quite the right circumstance. Having mock it up and put it on another thetan, a theoretical thetan, a few times, does what? It continues the game. Therefore, it takes him out of the lose, and we've got a game condition again where he himself is saying, I am no effect. No effect on me, effect on others. See? So you've got to get the game started again to get him to come out of it. And his efforts are mainly along the lines of let's get the game going again. rather than let's get a game going. Got that? He's got lots of games. Actually, he has to invent a few more every now and then in processing, or he will run out of them. But it's the truth, the actual factual truth is that whenever he's in this kind of a condition, it doesn't matter what silly condition he's in, and let me assure you that Thetan can get in some of the silliest conditions I have ever seen. Here's a young man. He looks good, strong, virile. You know, run up and at him. Walking down the street, girls whistling at him. And he says, "Women don't like me." We say, "What's the matter with this guy? Maybe he's just that way." What's the matter with this guy? I'll tell you what's the matter with him. He's playing a game of girls don't like me, and he lost. So he's always trying to get this game going again. Eventually, he'll do the darndest things. You take up smoking Mexican cigarettes. He finally goes through all sorts of fads and devices and so forth, all of them calculated to drive girls away. He comes up to us as a pretty clear. He tells us, "Women don't like me." Smoking Mexican cigarettes. Kicks off his shoes. We say, says, "When do we start processing?" We find out he should lose Listerine too. He's wearing some old rags no girl would ever look at. And we say, very obviously, now get where our failure would be there. We say, "Look, girls don't like this fellow because he's doing all these things. So we, as practical people, would simply say, stop smoking the cigarettes, use Listerine, take a bath once in a while, get some decent clothes, and straighten yourself up." You got it? So we start to work on him. We burnish him up, you know, and we shine him, and we say, you know, we see him the next day, and he goes, and we go, "Duh." We see him a few days later, and you just never saw a guy revert so fast. Now, if we just said, well, he has an engram that tells him to do this, we would be partially right. This thing does stem from an engram. But what is the rationale and use of that engram? A very simple rationale, I assure you. He had a game going once, and he lost. Or he won. But in any event, it was a good game and it stopped. And ever afterwards, he's trying to start this game up again. I'll give you some sort of an idea about it. He was walking by the Adelphi Temple. And boy, were there some nice-looking Vestal virgins. Way back in ancient Greece, and he was walking by, and he said, So he had a terrific thought. And he went up the temple steps and he asked the oracle, "Why don't girls like me?" And of course, the whole cast tried to convince him that they did. next life as a Roman legionnaire. He was sitting around a baron's table on the Rhine, and a beautiful thought came to him, because sitting at the foot of the table with three lovely looking maids, and there was the baron's wife, so he thought to himself, you know, he starts drinking the mead, you know, starts drinking it up. What's the matter? You look sad. They all say, well, you see, women don't like me. They don't? Oh, no, you're wrong. And they prove it to him. Long about 800, he's got a good racket going with a church up near Pisa or something, and he has buries it by saying, the Virgin Mary doesn't like me, and the girls in his congregation prove to him that he is likable. It's been going on like this for ages, but the funny part of it is that somewhere along the line, it didn't work, or it worked too well. Got the idea? In other words, it went into a win or a lose capacity and stopped the game. It's a game he's not supposed to play anymore. He said to himself, I mustn't play this game anymore because it is a dangerous game. But that never stopped a thing. That never stopped a thing. He says after that, I ought to be playing that game. I don't dare. And that is aberration. On one side, he says, I must reach with that game. On the other side, he says, I must not reach with that game. He says, I must withdraw from that game. I must not withdraw from that game, because look at how successful that game was. Of course, I don't dare play it, but it is a terribly successful game. You got this? And he can actually go mad on that computation, and that is the computation of madness. I must do it. I can't do it. I've got to keep from doing it. I must. And it's been our task to find out what it is that he must or must not do. And it's just a game. What game is it? That's your job as an audience. But all these games boil down to havingness. There's connected with them havingness. If you have some doubt of that, just I told you several illustrations and so forth, there was havingness connected with each one of them. There was something to gain, some mass to win in each one of these. And there was somebody to discourage in each one of these. For instance, the Baron. He had to be fought. And in the temple, there was probably the grand priestess, who was an old bag that was just jealous as the devil. She would have had him fried over the nearest sacred fire if she found out what was going on in her sacred precincts. You get the idea. There was an enemy. There was something to be won, some boodle, some loot. And he'll run a game to such an extent that he believes after a while it is the only method of procuring. Since a Thetan believes in systematized procuration. He believes in this, if in nothing else. How do you get money? You ask a bricklayer how you get money. If he's a good worker, honest fellow, he'll say, you lay bricks, of course. That's how you get money. Simple, anybody knows that. A fellow who hauls beer, you say, how do you get money? He says, well, you haul beer, that's how you get money. Banker, how do you get money? And he says, well, you'd have to understand banking. But they all have a belief of how you get something, you see? It's a system. Now, they get convinced of how you get. It becomes a conviction, and you get a system going, a method going, and that method thereafter is not particularly departed from. And if the fellow suddenly lost this method, you'll find him going along for a long time, not able to recognize any other method. Now, let's do this. Let's offer this fellow who wrestles beer trucks and beer barrels all day long a perfectly simple job of laying bricks at three times the pay, much easier work. He won't keep the job. He won't stay with it. Why? It obviously isn't a real method of procuring anything. You follow me? Now, we asked the banker, why don't you go out and haul beer? If you're having such a bad time with finance, you're not even making wages, there's a job down here, they haul beer. Oh, no! And he'll give you all sorts of reasons. He says, beneath his dignity, although I don't know what dignity would possibly obtain in being a banker. You get the idea? Fellows, get these games going. Now, we just think of life and work loosely and quickly, you see, on that sudden basis of, of course you work to get money. No, let's think of it on a wider basis. Look at its actual mechanics. The money is simply the boodle, the loot, the gimmick. It's just the havingness of the game, that's all. Everybody holds this havingness in common, therefore you can have some terrifically complicated, widely agreed upon games with it. In football, it isn't money, it's a piece of leather and rubber. You see, and that's the thing, plus a couple of goalposts and a little area. Now, the havingness of the game also includes, of course, the bodies of your own team. The can't havingness of the game is just as important as the havingness because that gives you the opponent. The can't havingness of football is the bodies of other players. They're not supposed to have bodies, and you're not supposed to have their bodies. In other words, that's a can't-have situation. Your goalposts are a can't-have situation for them. You see? Now, money is something we don't consider as a game, except loosely, and we say, they're not supposed to be able to have my money, but I'm supposed to be able to have his money. You get the idea. And the money is the money, but it's just the assignment of ownership on what dollar it is, isn't it? Now, I'm not supposed to have his house, he's not supposed to have my house, you see, but I have my house, and he has his house, and you get the haves and can't-haves involved in the games of being neighbors. Now, the actual weenie, or football, or boodle, or loot, in playing the game of neighbors can include lawnmowers, garden sprays, wives, all sorts of things, see? And two guys actually will live in a very friendly atmosphere playing the game of being neighbors and playing it as a game. Not really being neighbors, you see, but chop-chop. Hello, George. How are you, George? I'd like to borrow your lawnmower. You didn't return it last spring, you know. Well, that's all right. I'd like to borrow it anyhow. Well, I haven't got it. You have. No, I lent you mine, you know. Very involved. Then they can say, well, we're enemies today. Then tomorrow, well, you'll find them sitting down friendly as punch. Why do they make friends again? It's an end game. They don't. If one had said, love thy neighbor, whenever no game conditions are attained, so we get enough communication to get the game going again, it would have been a very workable statement, because that's what people do. You merely said you must love your neighbor at all times, you'd have a no game condition. People would get very unhappy about it. That's a fact, be true. You put any of these absolutes into action and you normally get a no-game condition. Well, you see what this thing is about a game and the havingness of the game. There's havingness in the game. Well, there are reverse havingnesses. There are desirable havingnesses and undesirable havingnesses. Now, a bunch of black masses are desirable just to this degree. You can use them on somebody else. And he did and missed. In
Now, if you actually ask this fellow, I'll tell you the rationale back of this. It actually succumbs to an interesting test. You say, this fellow with blackness, all right, now get the idea. Don't make him look at this thing too long, because conceiving a static is quite upsetting. They get sick at their stomachs sometimes. You say, get the idea of Thetan going along there innocently. Now, you drop a big black mass over him. Now, get another idea of the Thetan going along and quickly drop a black mass over him. Another idea. Drop a black mass over him. Another thing. Drop a black mass over him. Now, you'd say offhand that this fellow was mocking up a bunch of new crimes and he's going to suffer from these crimes. No, the overt act motivator phenomena is much lower on the tone scale and much lower and further below this other game's phenomena. It takes place. It occurs. You beat somebody up, you feel beaten up. But that's only from a fellow who is in really a good, solid, no-game condition. He's in bad shape if this overt act motivator sequence happens. It happens. But up higher on the scale, this process works. But even on a low tone pre-clear, it works. But it's just a higher scale process. All right? He does this for a while. He does this for a while, and he all of a sudden says, you know, I shouldn't do this. I feel apathetic about those poor little Thetans that I'm messing up. He's come up to apathy. Now, normally we would have stopped before because we would have thought we were grinding him down to apathy. Now we ask him to do it some more. You say, get the idea of a Thetan walk along there, and you drop one of these black masses, we said. And get a Thetan over there. He's very queasy about this. You say, get an idea of a Thetan perched on that lamp, a Thetan over on that picture, a spirit over there someplace. And you drop this mass on him. And you drop it on him, and you do it to him, and you do it to him. All of a sudden he comes up tone scale on the thing, he reverts, and his field clears. In other words, you got the game going again, and then you did better than that. You didn't put it on a win. You put it on the one thing he was trying to do with it, to give it a consistent continuation. And he has achieved a consistent continuation of game. He feels he can now play the game anytime, and you've completely spoiled the obsession to play the game by putting it into a rational game's capacity. In other words, you've taken it out of an unknowing condition and put it in an annoying condition. Now, he didn't know he was playing a game. He's just dead in his head, you see. It's an unknowing game's condition. He doesn't know about it, where it came from, or anything else. Now, you tell him to play that game again. Drop a black mass on a Thetan and do it again and again and again. He'll tell you. He'll cognite. He must have done this at some time or another. You get into an annoying condition, and suddenly, why, he's no longer playing that game. You get it into an annoying condition. You give him power of choice of being over being able to play the game, and he is able to play it. Do I make myself very clear? Yeah. Well, havingness, as I say, is the gimmick, the boodle, the reward, and in the case of a black mass, the penalty. And it has many sides. That it simply bluntly and blatantly works is remarkable. You just say you run everything on the basis of have, and you have some small workability. But actually, it has to be selectively run to be very effective. Havingness is really run in this fashion. First, dynamic. Have. And then all other dynamics of which one does not consider he is a part, can't have. That's it. That's the rule.
You have, you see, it, he, she, they, anything else can't have, it'll usually be safe. But when that becomes flat, in other words, when you run, look around the room and find something you can have, flat, you could then run, look around the room, and find something your body can't have. And that goes flat. The next time you say you, something new and peculiar has happened. Without your differentiating at all, He says, when you say you, he takes himself plus his body. You got it? So you run self plus body flat, and then tell me something that your family, you see, can't have. Look around the room, tell me something your family can't have, and he selects all this out, and he runs that nicely flat. And the next time you say you, he takes himself and his family as you. Got the idea? So you say, look around the room and find something you can have. He's sort of including into that the whole family and himself and his body and so on. So you just pick out enemies, up the dynamics one way or the other, and run can't haves on those. And every time you turn around and run haves on the preclear, he has a tendency, just a tendency, he very often would deny that it exists, in which case it isn't flat, to include the dynamics that you have flattened on can't have as his friends. Got the idea? You make friends right up, right through the dynamics for the guy. You see, by running them out as enemies. First, he considers everything in the whole universe except himself an enemy. Now, that is really a compulsive game condition. There are no friends or anything anywhere. Now, people object to this. They say this couldn't possibly be. It is not a natural or a good thing. Well, it's natural, but it's not good because it isn't even a good game condition. Would you consider it a good game for you all by yourself to be standing up there versus seven other dynamics and everything in them? Pretty good, huh? You going to win that fight or you going to lose it? Now that, actually, weirdly enough, is and becomes almost a total no-game condition. Now, how does a guy get into that sort of a thing? How does he get into a total no-game condition? That's by, in an anxiety to have a game, and every Thetan has an anxiety to have a game, every one of them does, they're nuts. It's true, there's something basically wrong with the beast. I've examined him. I said, what's the matter with you? What do you got to have a game for? You're always in trouble with it. Yeah, he says, isn't that what a game is? When it gets down to the third dynamic, and one is no longer able to operate on any third dynamic at all, one starts to get too much game. And it's when one departs from all thirds that he goes below 2.0 on a rolled tone scale. When all thirds are gone, he's below 2.0. In other words, he's in awfully bad shape. Now, he's only in an unknowing game's condition. Everything is above this level. And it is his enemy. The whole world is his enemy. And then he gets down to an inversion, which is very peculiar to witness. This fellow has been chop, chop, cut, cut, slash, slash, and he's been going around and he's been cutting throats and tying up people's clothes when they're in swimming and doing other insidious acts. And one fine day, he says, I've sinned. Well, this thing of I've sinned is a recognition that he is suddenly all alone somehow. And he makes an effort to get back into the game. But what game is he trying to get into? He's now trying to get into a game where he's offended everybody. Everybody, anywhere, no matter what their race, color, creed, description, form, or politics might be, is an enemy. He knows that. The other person doesn't know it, but he does, you see. So he has to go in, and he goes on a very low-scale propitiation. Please, won't somebody talk to me? You see, he really doesn't have very much to offer, so nobody talks to him. You get how this is? Now, there's a disgraceful thing. But all insanity, neurosis, and mental difficulty, each and every one, and all of them, are simply exaggerations of sane actions.
You get that very clearly. If you don't have that already, it's an old part of Scientology, dieting. But if you don't have that, you're missing something. You're missing something there. All you have to do is take one sane quality. You know, a fellow likes to have some candy in his pocket to give kids when he meets them on the street. That's a sane action. Exaggerate that on and on and on and on and on, and it becomes a psychosis. All he can do is, you see, this psychosis is all he can do is limitation of, total limitation. All he can do is go around and any way he can get his hands on some candy and shove it into kids' throats. You see, it's just a slight, it's not even a twist. It's just exaggerating an action. And that's, you say he's nuts. Now, for instance, you and I have an idea that we have something to offer the world or something to do for the world. Well, you see, we have that. We're not obsessed by this in any way, but we believe that this is the case. Now, one day, I just walking down the steps at the Hazy the other day, and a chap was walking down with me that we had just cured recently of being Napoleon. And I was thinking about some third dynamic plans that we have that pretty workable plans. They're all right, and third dynamic organization, and I was getting along okay, and I just got through talking to some people about it, and here this fellow says, You know, Rod, you've got to process me some more. I hadn't processed even all, but this was just a state of tape. Got to process me some more because with this Suez Canal crisis coming up, I won't know what to say to Nasser. I can do so much for England, he says. It hurts sometimes to talk to these psychos. Because they're playing an insane, fixed version of a perfectly legitimate game. See, if there was nobody on Earth who could do anything for the British, they'd be in a hell of a mess. You see, if there was nobody on Earth that could do anything for the American civilization, it'd be in an awful mess, too. I mean, a social service nurse that goes around and knocks on doors is doing something for the whole country, actually, as you build it up, don't you see? But the difference is, she's actually doing something. And a psycho never does. He just stands in one place and jitters about this game. There's no action involved in it because he must withdraw. It's so dangerous that he must do it that he... Ugh. So you take any sane manifestation, exaggerate it, becomes an insane or neurotic manifestation. You follow that closely? So that you might say insanity and neurosis were systems of making a dirty crack at sanity and your ability. In other words, they're an exaggerated method of insult. Fella doesn't dare come up to your face and say you're a dog. So he dramatizes something you're doing in a bad way that makes you feel like a dog. You see, he sets an example that he wants you to follow. Now, the direct sensation and manifestation of neurosis and psychosis is very, very easy to understand. All you have to do is process a psychotic, if you could audit him, or a neurotic on this process, and you'd have it all set. Have him sit out on a porch or something and look at traffic go by. And have him put his peculiar fixation into every person that passes by in the street. And after a while, he feels better. In other words, you let him continue the game that he must not continue. And so, he comes out of it. You say, this is an awful dirty trick to play on a bunch of people walking by on the street. Well, where did you get the idea that fellows who went nuts had any horsepower?
All they have is agitation and confusion. They don't have horsepower. We speak of the horrible strength sometimes possessed by insane people. It's horrible strength, just on the same order that an electric charge or something is a horrible charge. It doesn't happen to have adequate direction in order to do anything. If you had this fellow with horrible strength out there in the porch, having him put horrible strength into the people that went by, he'd actually fly up and go into roofs and do all sorts of things. Just wouldn't exist, wouldn't affect anybody. The common denominator of all this, by the way, is thought has no effect on. As a person goes down tone scale, his thought does not have an effect on thoughts or masses anymore. And these people do not have any power. You can get quite agitated around them. That's because they've got a bunch of old engrams. Here they are. Sitting here. And then all the way around them, you got this sort of a picture. You come along, and you stand there. All of a sudden, you feel this. You say, what's going on here? Makes me uncomfortable to be around that person, you say. You say, oh, I feel all right now. Why? He's in an engram powerful enough to influence his body, and it will influence yours. But all it is a rest point surrounded by motion, and you get into the motion area. But that is simply a case of his last havingness, his last game, his last havingness. Here he is with some small mass. This motion threatens to take it away from him. He is always on the verge of losing what little mass he has left. Always he's in danger of losing that little tiny bit of mass. So he has to hold on to that mass. Unfortunately, connected to the mass is all this wild motion and confusion and painful reactions which have a total effect on him, you see? But he has to hold on to this mass because it's all he's got. He's only surrounded by the Empire State Building, the Atlantic Ocean, New York City, and millions of people. See, and he has this little tiny mass. In other words, he's got to win. He won this mass in a national contest. He doesn't play that game anymore. He is it. He is the game. He isn't playing the game. You make him play this game again, and he ceases to be it. In other words, you've got to get him back in a game condition. He'll hold on to his wins or loses, because these masses are something on the order of the old lady's medals. These masses are the old lady's medals. He says, well, I was in a game once. See? See this scar? I was in a game once, is all a scar says. Any fellow that scars up easily, by the way, he's been short on games when it happened to have to keep around the tokens or havingness of the game. Do you know there are fellows that get into automobile accidents and get hurt? Well, that just shows you what a scarcity of automobile accidents they have. They just aren't in enough of them. People get into automobile accidents, by the way, because they're not supposed to cause them. You follow me? Don't you dare cause any accidents. You can take any accident prone, by the way, and give him an old jalopy or a playing field that's rigged up for it and let him run it into a few walls and run it off of things and run it in ditches and turn it over a few times and so forth, and he'll say, boy. But it's twice as good if you gave him some levers and signals that he could juggle around and wreck cars. That's a real game, you see. Like it's played by traffic engineers. Well, anyhow, you might say American traffic is being ruined, stopped, and wrecked in order to promote the sanity of a few traffic engineers who were potty before they got the job. Well, this thing called havingness
is the subject of prizes. And sometimes they're, it might say, the prizes and penalties. And sometimes they're prizes and sometimes they're penalties. If the thing the fellow has is a penalty, you want to have him mark it up one way or the other of giving it to somebody else. And if it's a prize, well, you want to mark it up so that he gets it. You understand? In other words, he gets what he considers prizes, and you have him put off on somebody else what he considers penalties. But I'll tell you something. You'll just have to consult the pre-clear as to what's a prize and what's a penalty. Well, I've often said there's just no understanding a thing. But this is havingness. Havingness is the award or the penalty, and in both cases it has mass. Actually, bringing him into command of solids in general, bringing him out of an upset about havingness itself or possession. Now, the subject of havingness is not the subject, then, of possession. And that which is havingness is not necessarily possessed at all. This fellow has some crossbow bolts all ready to load and fire. The intention of that havingness is, of course, a penalty in somebody's back. You see that? He himself doesn't want the crossbow bolts. He wants the bolts so that another guy can have them. Now, this is in contradistinction to a pretty girl. He wants the pretty girl so he can have the pretty girl. So the other fellow can't have the pretty girl. And to resolve the problem of women with some man or men with some woman, you have to run have and can't have. Can't have on the man's opponents, you see, and have on women. You see that? And on the girl, if you were trying to get her over upsets and scarcities on this, you would have to run, as far as she's concerned, have on men and can't have on other women. It's just as necessary to run one as the other. Now, you wonder why these things haven't resolved. They haven't resolved because to no great extent have we been totally in possession of the exact facts. We haven't had dossier Thetan type Earth 1950 very closely filed until now. But right at the top of the tag, you have havingness and solids as to identification of desire and reason why you have, so he can continue a game that was once an awful lot of fun but got dangerous. Thank you.